Thank you for being here. We're going to have a little bit of fun, okay? You know, we participate in state fine arts competitions with our school, and then those that win first place in state go on to national competition. So we're actually going to present a little bit of that to you tonight. We have in the past allowed some of our students to give speeches of a spiritual nature that are sacred and sing their sacred songs for you, but tonight we're doing something a little bit different. One of our students has done the Bible memory section, which in the 18 years I've been here, we've never had anyone really nail it. In fact, we've only had one other student try. It is a big endeavor where you have to memorize biblical truths along with the reference and the verse that goes along with them, 88 of them, and they can quiz you. It's kind of like a spelling bee where you have to come up and say the reference in the verse and get it word perfect and all that. And so we have a student this year that literally killed it, impressed the judges, and I plan on him winning national competition. So no pressure. But this is a final practice for him. And we wanted to let you as a church kind of see it and hear it and maybe, just maybe, be inspired by it. And my message will be, after this, my message goes along with the concept of hiding God's word in our heart and studying God's word. And so hopefully it fits well together tonight, but we want you to enjoy this. I have asked for some volunteers from our school board and administration and deacons to help me. So if you folks could come up, we're going to let you sit on the front row right up here. And I'm going to come down here to my moderator's place. Let's have you on that side. And I have a lapel mic. You have the handheld mics that you can hand back and forth. And our first contestant tonight is James DeStefano. James is in ninth grade at Land O'Lakes Christian School, and he has memorized a lot of Bible verses. He really impressed the judges at state, and so I have asked a panel of quiz masters to quiz him. I don't want you to think that I'm doing it in the right order or that he and I have colluded. James, have we colluded tonight? We have not colluded, okay? So he doesn't know which ones they're going to ask. In fact, they don't even know which ones they're going to ask. But we're going to allow them to ask the questions. What they will do is they will say, from this list of verses, the Bible truth. And then James will have to quote the reference and the verse that corresponds with that Bible truth. Or they could just give him a Bible reference and he has to quote the verse. Okay? So a panel of quiz masters, are you ready? Okay, so we're gonna go back and forth with this mic and then that mic, this mic, then that mic. But Mr. Frazier will start, and after you do your first one, you'll hand the mic on to Mr. Hurst, and then so on. We'll work all the way to the middle and then send the mics back to the side, and we'll just go back and forth, okay? Okay, Mr. Frazier, you're first.
A soul is worth Christ's sacrificial death.
1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Christ's love constrains us.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
And
2 Corinthians 5:14-15.
Very good.
First.
Sin separates man from God.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2.
Random.
Physical death is not the end of man's existence.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Mr. Gallister.
Philippians 2:5-8.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
The soul winner practices faith and God's goodness.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 7:11.
God. Judgment is certain.
Hebrews 9:27. Romans 2:5-9. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his own deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and will not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile.
Our love for others should compel us.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Very good.
Hell is the punishment for not believing on Christ.
John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
Earthly life is uncertain.
Can you repeat that, please?
Earthly life is uncertain.
James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
Christ's love constrains us.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15.
Hell is a place of fire.
Mark 9:43-44. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.
Jesus paid the penalty for our sin.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8.
Okay, let's take a little break there. So far, so good. We are doing this random, so Quizmasters, you may not have been able to keep up with somewhat what someone else asked. If you do a repeat, that's okay, because repetition aids learning, okay? We are actually about a fourth of the way through the list already, so great job, James. Just one little hesitation, so good job, okay? Quizmasters, if he does make a mistake, just circle it on the paper. He can work on that one a little bit more later, okay? All right, we ready? Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Right here.
Mrs. Coates.
Romans 2:5-9.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, of revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile.
Very good.
1 Thessalonians 5:22.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Mr. Gilley?
Thank you for waking me up. 1 John 5:11-13.
And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Very good.
1 Corinthians 15:42-44.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body.
The soul winner exercises wisdom.
Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Colossians 4:5.
John 5:28-29.
Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Mark 12:30-31.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Mr. Galster.
Death is certain.
Psalm 89:48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah.
The soul winner faithfully reads and studies the Bible.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Did you quote the verse, or is that the biblical truth?
That's the verse.
Okay, we can't go backwards. only learned them one direction.
But that was Romans 3:10, if you were wondering.
Okay, that's
okay.
I'm
very good. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you,
Mr. Martin. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Frazier.
Salvation is a gift, nothing we can earn.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9.
Okay. Mr. Gilley?
Eternal life will be spent with God, the reference.
John 14:1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and that whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Good.
Romans 1:14.
I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise.
Mr. Averett?
Separation from God is darkness.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9.
Judgment is certain.
Romans 2:5-9. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and will not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile.
A man's earthly future is uncertain.
Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Physical death is not the end of man's existence.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation.
Each person must appropriate God's forgiveness by an act of faith in Christ.
Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
To obey Christ's command is our duty and not our choice.
So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Luke 17:10.
Revelation 21:8.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Hebrews 10:25.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of such is, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Judgment for sins occurs after physical death.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27.
Romans 5:12-14.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Jesus confirmed the reality of hell.
Luke 16:22-23. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
Acts 2:41-47.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Mark 12:30-31.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Physical death is not the end of man's existence.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Physical death for the believer is termed sleep.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15:42-44.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body.
It is a sin not to win souls.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
A soul is worth more than the entire world.
Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Matthew 10:28.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Judgment is certain.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile.
First reference?
Second, Romans 2:5-9.
Okay, last question. Mr. Frazier, you got a good one?
A soul is worth Christ's humility.
Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
All right. Thank you very much, Quizmasters, and thank you, James. We got through a little over half the list. Good job. So there's about double of that. He's worked very hard on that. By the way, if you have children in Awana and you have them memorizing verses, that's a good thing. Even with talking with James and his parents about doing this category for competition, you know, what if you don't win and you put all that work into it? Well, you hid God's word in your heart.
Amen.
And God's word will not return void. And let me encourage you, you're not too old to memorize a verse, okay? It's okay. And to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Psalm 119. Thank you, Quizmasters, very much. Appreciate your help with that tonight. We did keep it random. I told them the only way James would miss something tonight is if he got nervous. I don't know what there would be to be nervous about, you know, with all you people out there, and of course it being live streamed and everything. You know, no pressure. Good job, James. Good job. Okay. We do have several families gone this weekend. If you've noticed a few empty seats next to you, I think there's five or six families that have joined the Templetons for their son Seth's wedding over in the West Palm Beach area, and so we miss them this week. But if you're wondering where a few extra folks are tonight, that's where they are. So pray for Seth and Maddie as they get married. Was it yesterday or today? I don't remember. Was it yesterday? Okay. So praise the Lord for them. And then pray for us as we get ready to head out tomorrow around noon. I'm going to jump in a bus and take 40 of my closest friends with me. And about 40 students and another 10 adults or so. We're going up to Greenville, South Carolina, to Bob Jones University, to National Fine Arts Competition. And we got the schedule in our email boxes a couple days ago. And Land O'Lakes Christian School's name is all over that schedule. I was really encouraging. It warmed my heart just to see how well we are represented. And what happens at state competition is we compete against the other schools in the state, schools that we also play sports against. And then when we win at state competition, we get to go on to national competition. And then we compete against schools we don't know. Maybe a school that we've played against in a basketball tournament at some point or a soccer tournament when we go off to do something like that. But for the most part, they're schools in other states that we're competing against. And then it kind of becomes Florida. All of us Florida schools want Florida to win. And Florida is the fifth largest state association in the American Association of Christian Schools. And so we always aim for we've got to come in at least fifth or better. And it's some of those states are hard to beat. There's a lot of Christian schools in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia area, and we've got our work cut out for us sometimes, but we're glad to be able to do that. We include that as part of our program. We actually make our students participate. We make them compete because we feel it broadens their horizons and it stretches them. You know how you can be a big fish in a small pond? Well, we want them to get out and swim in the big lake, too. And by the way, Land O'Lakes Christian School isn't such a small pond anymore. We've got 436 students here. Next year, I think we're already over 450 for enrollment for next year. So we're very thankful for what the Lord does in the lives of these students. And I want to encourage you as a church member to make the Word of God part of your life. James quoted one of the verses that I was going to quote tonight, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's all about the word of God. When we talk about the word of God, I'm going to give you four simple points tonight. Hopefully you'll remember them. Now you'll probably, you might remember them, I don't know. And we'll look in the book of Psalms, but we'll throw some other verses up for you to see also. The Word of God, we need it. We need it, don't we? It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need it. We should read it. If you've not made a habit of reading God's Word in your life, if you just come to church and let the preacher feed you, you're missing out. We need to read God's Word. And thirdly, we ought to heed it. So we need it, we should read it, and we ought to heed it. To heed it is to obey it, to do what God wants us to do. And you know, some people look at the Bible as a bunch of list of things I can't do. But really the Bible is, here's how to be happy. Here's how to have eternal life, and here's how to have happiness in your life. John 10:10 said, Jesus said, I am come, the thief come forth not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. You know what that is? Eternal life in heaven with God for all eternity. And then that abundant life is happiness in this life. So Jesus came, the incarnate Word, to give us life and abundant life. And then if we realize our need for it, we read it and we heed it, we will succeed with it. We'll succeed with the Word of God, won't we? Let's look first, 2 Timothy 3:14, talking about our need. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul's writing to the young preacher Timothy and telling him, he's talking about his mother and his grandmother and what he's learned. Remember the things which thou hast learned. And a lot of people in this room, you've learned a lot growing up. Are you remembering them? Are you doing anything with them? Remember those things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. At that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Have you known the Holy Scriptures from a child? They're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Some of you have grown up in a Christian home. You've had Bible teaching all of your life. What are you doing with that? I know when I grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a family that really just didn't know the Lord. We didn't attend church. They weren't bad people, but that was just not the way I grew up. I didn't grow up memorizing Scripture. I didn't grow up going to Awana or Bible school. Now, I did accept Jesus Christ as my Savior going to a vacation Bible school one summer, and that's where the Lord started my walk with Him. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That word profitable means that it's helpful, it's advantageous. Now, the Word of God is advantageous for us. It's helpful to us. How do we know how to live? Through the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. I heard it years ago. I just think it's awesome that doctrine is what is right. For doctrine, for reproof, reproof is what is not right. Correction is how to get right, and instruction is how to stay right. So how do we get right with God? We learn doctrine. We learn what is right. And then reproof, sometimes we have to know what isn't right. And then correction, that's that part that's not quite as fun, right? When God has to chastise us or we learn something the hard way, how to get right, and then instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. You know, if we have that instruction in righteousness, and in this case, in Timothy's life, he had it from a child. That's going to help him get right, stay right, keep his relationship with the Lord right. And the next verse there after verse 16 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, we have the privilege of having God's Word in our hands. And do we read it? Do we memorize it? Do we study God's Word? Because God gave it to us so that we may be perfect. Now, that word perfect there literally is also translated mature. It's a maturity thing, spiritual maturity. It's not that we're going to be sinless, but we're going to be mature. We're going to be thoroughly furnished. We're going to be equipped to serve God. In fact, in our mission for our church, we talk about evangelizing, edifying, and equipping. That's what the Word of God does. It tells us how to be saved, evangelized, to be evangelized. It tells us, it equips us, gives us or edifies us, helps us build us up in a faith. Edifying is building up, and then equips us. What good is it to be evangelized if you're never equipped? What good is it to be edified, to be built up, if you never go out and serve the Lord with what you know? And so I'd encourage you to spend time in God's Word. I shared a few pictures in staff devotions this, I think, a week or two ago. Am I good here? My technology wasn't working right, but I took some pictures the last time I visited Michigan. Michigan's where I grew up. And I shared some pictures with them. The first picture I shared was, it was my old house. And my old house has been torn down. So it's just a blank, the garage is still standing, the house is not. So I just kind of walked down memory lane a little bit when I go home and see my mom and my sisters. And then I showed a picture of two roads. Now, one road's kind of funny now, but it wasn't at the time. One road was Arnold Highway. And when I got my driver's license on my 16th birthday, I had a 1974 Mercury Capri. Anybody ever remember what those look like? They were before the Mercury Capri was the same car as the Ford Mustang. It was the European-style little sporty kind of thing. It didn't have a lot of power because it was just a four-cylinder, but that was my first car. Well, on my 16th birthday, I got my driver's license because that's what you did back then. I just can't fathom kids nowadays that decide to get their driver's license whenever, 17, 18. I mean, when we turned 16, when it was legal to get our driver's license, that's when we got our driver's license. I worked every day after school, and that's the day I took off because I had to go get my insurance and I had to go get my driver's license. That's what you do. So, did some things with my dad that night. I actually went bowling with my dad that night. We got home, and he needed to run an errand. I volunteered. I'll run your errand because I can do that now. I can do that now. So I jumped in my car, and I knew my way from Ogden Center to Jasper Junction, no problem. Made that trip many times. But there was a little shortcut. The shortcut was on Arnold Highway. It was a little dirt road, and I had already driven for a while, so I kind of knew how to drive okay, grew up around cars. My dad ran an auto repair shop, and so I kind of knew how to drive. But you know how you are when you're 16. Remember, guys, that frontal cortex? Yeah, okay. it wasn't quite developed yet, and so I'm going around this hairpin turn on a dirt road, and the back end slides out from under my car, and I took a picture, I showed it to the teachers, of the embankment that I went up on and rolled my car over. On my 16th birthday, same day I got my driver's license, okay? So, don't worry about your children, there is hope, okay? I caught Fifi before she flew out the window. Fifi's my little white poodle that we had at the time. I literally, you know how when you're in an accident, it happens in slow motion? I saw this white fur ball going past my face. I stuck out my hand, I caught her. I was proud of myself. So anyway, that was a lesson learned. I rolled all the way over. I looked around to see if anybody was around, threw the back window in the back seat, and drove it home. That wasn't a good day. And the other road I showed the teachers was the road that my dad got in a car accident in, and he died when I was 16 years, just a couple months after that, on Thanksgiving Day, 1983. And those two roads had an impact on my life. And when my dad died, we were best buddies. We did everything together. I worked with him all the time, that sort of thing. But when he died, again, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We didn't go to church. I was saved at a vacation Bible school many years earlier. I think I was about 7 or so. And I also had a picture of the church I was saved in that I showed the teachers the other day. Okay. But I had never grown in my faith because I had never heard the Word of God preached much. I didn't know you were supposed to read your Bible. So when I was 16 years old, after my dad's death, I really came to the end of myself. And I had some decisions to make. Well, rather than make stupid decisions, I decided to go to church. I had a best friend that went to church, And I had a high school math teacher in a public school that went to church. And both of those people were good testimonies. And they went to the same church. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go try this out. And in a very real sense, I was reunited with a friend that I'd forgotten I'd had. I knew I was a Christian. I knew I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now, I got assurance of my salvation. I made sure. I got baptized. And I started sitting in church and hearing the preacher preach. And I was learning things and that sort of thing. And then there was this message about reading the Bible yourself and growing, taking responsibility for your own spiritual growth. When I started doing that, I started growing by leaps and bounds. And I was just on fire for the Lord. I went off to a Christian college to prepare for ministry. And I didn't understand some of these kids that came from a Christian school that weren't fired up about their faith. Keep fired up about your faith, Christian school students, okay? Because God's real. He gave us his word, his love letter to us, to tell us how to live, how we can have life, and how we can have life more abundantly. David said in Psalm 119, 18, we're going to look at several verses there, but Psalm 119, 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And when I was 16, 17 years old, God started opening my eyes, and I beheld wonderful things out of thy law. This is actually my 1984 Bible. That's the first one I started reading out of. So we need God's word. We ought to read God's word, okay? Acts 17:11, Paul said that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Christians in Berea, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Don't just come and listen to the preacher preach. Listen, we got some great preachers around here. Well, the other ones, you know. You got Pastor Peterson. He's a great Bible teacher. Pastor Bloom's been doing a great job. But you can't trust your spiritual growth to what comes from behind the pulpit. You know, the basketball player shoots a lot of baskets at home before he's good. He just doesn't come to practice, and that's all the shooting he does. You know, this is like coming to practice and getting coached and getting pumped up, and go home and practice more. Spend more time reading God's word. You know, there's different ways to study. I'm an educator. I have a master's degree in education. There are different ways to study. Let me tell you how students study. Number one, they don't. Okay? Some of them don't. And then they wonder why they get bad grades. Okay? Let's not be that kind of Christian. Some of them cram. And, you know, they kind of pay attention in class, or maybe not, but then the night before an exam, they cram, cram, cram. And by the way, cramming does kind of work, but it's not as good as other ways, okay? They could do better if they didn't cram. Some people study with a group. They, like, quiz each other and that sort of thing. That's kind of like coming to church. You know, this is group study, okay? But then, you know, the best way to study, as an educator, I have found, is when you review every day. I remember in college, I had to learn how to study. I made it through high school without studying and never had a problem. I got to college and I saw something I had never seen in my life. Scared the fire out of me. It was a C. I'd never seen one of those before. And I had to figure out that, wow, you have to study to get grades here. So I learned from somewhere down the line that if you pay attention in class and take good notes, and then you go home at the end of the day and you read over those notes, and then you set them aside, and then you do your homework and all that, and you do that every day, you read over the notes, you read over the notes, you read over the notes. By the time it comes, you know, 4 weeks later for a test, you don't have to cram. You know it. And it's a difference between memorizing it and actually learning it. That's what we ought to do with God's word. So if we know God's word, you know, search the scriptures daily, it says here in Acts 17. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James, don't just let those verses be something you memorized. Let them be down deep and work in your life. Psalm 119, verse 97. Verse 97 of Psalm 19 says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Do you meditate on God's word? Do you spend time thinking about God's word. And then we ought to heed God's word. Not just read it, but heed it. To heed something is to regard with care, to take notice, to observe it, to attend to it. I think kind of the assembly instructions on a IKEA furniture. Yeah, you ever see anyone unwise enough just to take those instructions and set them aside and try to figure it out themselves? That's what we do in our lives, don't we? Or sometimes we look at it and we just gloss over it. And then you put the thing together and it's a weird shape or something. And your wife wants you to put it together again because one panel's on backwards. And then you're like, and you're mad at her, but who should you really be mad at? You know, okay? God has given us the assembly instructions. If we would just read it and then heed it. In James 1:22, James says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You ever been lied to? Not a good feeling, is it? Ever have somebody deceive you and trick you? It's a terrible feeling. You feel used and abused. And you know, the worst kind of deception is when you deceive yourselves. You know, sometimes we deceive ourselves into believing something that's really not true. And if you are a hearer of the word, not a doer, you're deceiving yourselves. James 1:23 goes on to say, "For if anybody be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgotteth what manner of man he was." I can just picture this. In fact, it was so evident in Secondary Chapel this week, wasn't it, Mr. Martin? Secondary Chapel this week, we had students coming up and getting honor roll certificates. And, you know, their chapel uniforms are so delightful. The girls look nice, and they're nice khaki skirts and shirts. And the boys, they've got their khaki pants on, and they don't have to wear black shoes. They can wear another type of shoe on chapel day, and their dress-up shirt and their tie. And I tell you what, I think at least half of the junior high boys did not look in the mirror, okay? Because their tie is coming from here around the outside of the collar here. There's buttoned here that aren't buttoned. You know, it's at half mast. It's down to here. And they don't know, by the way. They don't know. And so you see them, and sometimes I kind of welcome them as they come into chapel. And I'm like, oh, man. I even asked Pastor one year, "Pastor, can we just do away with ties on chapel day? Because these kids don't know how to tie them. They leave them untucked. They're a mess. But we're trying to teach them. We're trying to train them. Right, Mr. Martin?" Okay. Mr. Martin's my secondary principal. Doing a great job, by the way. But I think of that junior high boy that gets up in the morning, gets himself ready, looks in the mirror, and walks away. But he didn't do anything. Maybe he didn't even look in the mirror. But that's what it's like when we are a hearer of the word and not a doer. It's like we looked into the perfect mirror of God's word. God's word showed us what we need to work on in our lives, and we kind of put it away and walked away. Oh, I'm sorry. Not quite what I meant to do. Sorry about that. But I didn't mean for that to fall on the ground, but sometimes figuratively, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? That made me think of something else. When I was in college once, I got up, I was reading my Bible before I went to bed. Left my Bible sitting on the floor. I woke up in the morning and I stood on it. So immediately I broke into song, "Standing on the Promises of Christ My King." Don't be a forgetful hearer. Look at verse 25 of James chapter 1. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That word blessed could be translated happy also. You want happiness in your life? Read and heed God's word. Psalm 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart," verse 10 says, "have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." If we hide God's word in our heart, it's going to make it a lot harder to sin. Remember the old quote, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book? Most people attribute that to D.L. Moody. I looked it up, and Paul Bunyan actually quoted it in one of his works in Pilgrim's Progress 300 years earlier. So, no, it wasn't in Pilgrim's Progress. It was written in the front flyleaf of his Bible, of Paul Bunyan's Bible. So I think the original quote was Paul Bunyan, not D.L. Moody. But D.L. Moody quoted a great quote when he said that. If we hide God's word in our heart, that'll help keep us from sin. And so we need to heed God's word, and then God's word will help us succeed in our lives. I thought, you know, what does it mean to succeed? Okay? What does it mean to succeed? So I looked it up. I did like any good student would do in the 21st century. I Googled it. Do you know how many people have an idea or an opinion of what success is? Here's the best one I found. Success is the opposite of failure. To me, there were so many opinions, it was hard to wade through, because success means something different for everyone. Now, for the Christian, success is eternal life with God, knowing that we have eternal life, and then living a life that's pleasing to God here on earth. But in a very real way, if we fall in sin, we're failing before God. Joshua 1:8 says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want success in life? God tells you. Study, read, meditate on God's word. Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word guides us through life. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and they that seek him with the whole heart. And that's my challenge for you tonight, to seek God with your whole heart. How do we seek God with our whole heart? Spending time in prayer, talking to him, of course, but this is his letter to us. We need to spend time in God's word in order to seek God with our whole heart. And so that's my challenge tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being able to hold it in our hands and to study it, to read it. Help us, Lord, to also heed it, to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And I pray, Father, that each one of us here would anew and afresh make a commitment to be in your word on a regular basis. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, with all heads bowed, your eyes are still closed, I'd just like to ask you tonight, do you know for certain that you're a Christian? Do you know for certain that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? I think we're mostly home folks here, church members, but if you're with us and you don't know for sure, boy, you could make sure of that tonight. You can, in your mind and in your soul right now, pray and ask God to forgive you your sins and become your Savior. Something like this, dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus came and died to pay the penalty for my sins. I know there's nothing I can do to save myself, but I trust in your gift of salvation through your death on the cross. If you've prayed a prayer like that in your life, you know you're a Christian. If you've prayed that tonight and made sure that you believe it, the Bible says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Have you believed in Christ and placed your faith in him? How many are here tonight and can say, I was moved tonight by the memorization and by the message and by God's word. I want to spend more time in God's word. Are there some here in that realm? Thank you. Thank you. So many hands. Let's vow to do that together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our church family. We pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to spend more time in your word, to be better students of your word, to follow your guidance in our lives and hide your word in our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Sal.